House Education, please come to order. Could the secretary please take the roll?
Chair Brigley.
Present.
Vice Chair Anderson.
Here.
Vice Chair Funk.
Excused.
Representative McCamey.
Excused. Butter
tarts. Representative Thane.
Excused.
Representative Novak.
Here.
Representative Rexton.
Here.
Representative Bertolio.
Excused.
Representative Running Wolf.
Excused.
Representative Hawk.
Here.
Representative Bishop.
Here.
Representative Vinton.
Excused.
Representative Mitchell.
Here.
Representative Kearns.
Excused.
Representative Lear.
Here.
Representative Seekins Crow.
Here.
Representative Beard.
Here.
Quorum present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Members, we have four bills up today. The order is listed up on the board, so we'll do House Bill 644, House Bill 663, House Joint Resolution 25, and then Senate Bill 243. So with that, we will open the hearing on House Bill 644. Representative Whitney Boy.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Before I get started, I have some handouts here I'd like to...
Yeah, if you want to pass them into the end.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jonathan Windy Boy, House District 32, from Box Elder to Hinsdale on south side of Highway 2. Before I go into the handout that we're passing out to you, Mr. Chairman, I'll give you a little brief explanation about the House Bill 644 before us today. And this bill is kind of a spinoff. As you'll recall, I came before the committee here on the establishing the Tribal Computer Program jobs bill earlier. And when we took a look at this, at first it was thought that that bill and 644 that's before you were not compatible. But after doing more research on it, these two are compatible now. And 644 that's in front of you right now, Mr. Chairman, is an act establishing the Tribal Computer Programming Boost Scholarship Program, assigning administration of the program to the OPP Instruction Office of Public Instruction, OPI, describing the purpose and parameters of the program. And early on in the session, Mr. Chairman, about middle of January, I had a brief meeting with the governor, and that was when we first initially talked about the other bill and this bill. And so when we came back out of this, the governor had put together $2,000 scholarships to basically train the trainer into getting this computer, Tribal Computer Programming Boost Scholarship going. And what this will basically do is to allow the teachers in schools on reservations to get trained up on how to implement this program. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, that's a part of that bill. I'll stand for questions on that one, and what we've done with what I passed out to you on this potential amendment is basically putting in House Bill anyways, one you heard earlier in the session. And this goes hand in hand, where we have the trainer, and we have the some of the language with the program that we had. And after doing more research on the initial one that we had previously, Mr. Chairman, is that when I told you guys if you could amend it, that Department of Labor would pay for the jobs program, and I come to find out that they did have the monies to do just that. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions, and I'll allow the proponents to come before you. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll open it up to proponents in the room. If you're a proponent, please state and spell your name for the record, and state any affiliation you might have.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Glenn Opel, two N's on Glenn. Opel is O-P-P-E-L, policy director for the governor. The governor's office is in strong support of House Bill 644. We haven't had a chance to review the amendments, but we will look at those and get back to you. One of the key components of the governor's Montana comeback plan is improving education, in particular providing better resources for K through 12 educators. Regarding House Bill 644, the governor had an opportunity early in the session to meet with Representative Winneboy and suggested pursuing legislation to increase computer programming opportunities to students on the reservations. As you know, the governor is passionate about the world of computers, and he wants to increase opportunities for careers in that field for students around the state, in particular students in the, on the reservations. The governor feels that the best way to do that from a practical as well as fiscal standpoint is to teach the teachers how to teach basic coding and computer programming to their students. By offering a scholarship to two teachers that are teaching on the reservations, they can take a course like the Joy and Beauty of Computing course at Montana State University, or a similar program offered by our other universities, our other community colleges, even tribal colleges. So these teachers will return to their classrooms to introduce reservation students to an area of education that we hope sparks their interest in a career in computers, which offers a multitude of opportunities and an excellent career path. The $2,000 scholarship in the bill should cover the cost of tuition for these programs, for these courses, with some money left over for travel, hopefully, for lodging and for meals, because the course does last more than one day. We're excited to have MSU professor, computer science professor John Paxton with us today. He's going to talk about his program at MSU, but he also knows about other programs with other universities. He'll talk about those as well. So with this program, we can reach hundreds of students by simply teaching the teacher, and we can do it in a fiscally conservative manner. Thank you for your time, and the governor urges your support for House Bill 644. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Good afternoon. My name is John Paxton, P-A-X-T-O-N. I am a computer science professor at Montana State University. I started my career there in 1990, and for the last several years, I've been privileged to serve as the director of the Gianforte School of Computing. So about 6 years ago, we developed this class, The Joy and Beauty of Computing, to try to better introduce students to the world of computing and its implications. And as part of that, we not only offer the course at Montana State University, we also provide teacher training for the course in the summer. We've been doing that for the last 5 years. We've reached 25 Montana teachers who then have turned around and offered the course as a dual enrollment course at their high schools. And so looking at the kind of MSU dual enrollment website, they currently list 14 schools as offering this course in the high schools. And these range from larger high schools like Great Falls High School, Helena High School, Billings Senior, to many of the smaller schools. It's offered at Ropplejay, at Malta, at Carter County High School, and Red Lodge. And so it's a course that's been in existence for 6 or 7 years. It has kind of a proven success with the ability to reach high school students. And the way that we work the teacher training is there's a one-week program during the summer where teachers will come to the Montana State campus. They will kind of like basically go through the course as it's offered at Montana State. So covering sort of like going through the material, but then also talking a little bit pedagogically about how the teachers could then go about adapting some of the assignments to better reach the students at their high school. So what might work well as a Montana State University assignment, something very different might work for the Red Lodge students. And so in terms of this teacher training, the Joint Beauty of Computing was maybe the initial teacher training effort to get more computer science into the high schools in the state of Montana. But it's not the only one. So this coming summer, although this course will be offered both at Montana State and by Professor Jeff Brown at Montana Tech, there's another course called Python for Math and Science that Yolanda Reimer, who's a University of Montana computer science professor, is going to offer. There's a game programming course for teachers at Montana State offered by Hunter Lloyd. And then one of the prior teachers who went through the Joint Beauty of Computing, Stacy Dolder, she's actually, she teaches both at CMR and Great Falls High School. She's going to be teaching a mobile computer science principles course out of Great Falls. And so there's a lot of geographic locations and a lot of different opportunities for teachers potentially to come learn how to teach one of these courses and then to offer it for dual enrollment. All right. Thank you very much.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Misty Kuhl, M-I-S-T-Y-K-U-H-L. I am the newly appointed Director of Indian Affairs for the state of Montana. I'm also an ANI member of Fort Belknap Indian Community. Thank you for the opportunity to advocate for House Bill 644. First, I want to thank Representative Wendy Boy for working with our governor to develop this proposal, which is legislation that the tribes very strongly support. We know that there is a need for computer coding curriculum on the reservations, and reservation teachers are excited about this opportunity. I would also like to point out that we did, in the bill, there is unique language that includes Little Shell. Little Shell does not have a land base. However, they are allowed to choose teachers from area schools that serve the Little Shell people. This is groundbreaking legislation. Our Native students are not as exposed to this area of education as their neighbors, their non-Native neighbors. House Bill 644 is an opportunity to enhance STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, education on our reservations. As we all know, there are numerous good-paying jobs and opportunities in this field. This is a small but extremely impactful investment in Indian country. And there is no greater investment than to potentially plant a seed for a young person's future. Thank you so much for considering to partner with tribal communities in order to grow not only our economies, but Montana's economies as well. I urge you to support House Bill 644. Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Patch Kiwaki, that's spelled Y-A-W-A-K-I-E. I'm representing the Blackfeet tribe today in support of House Bill 644. The Blackfeet Reservation is home to School District 9. Browning Public Schools consists of four elementary schools, one middle school, and the Browning High School, with over 2,000 students in the district. To bring students in the 21st century, computer sciences can be taught with an emphasis with a tribal perspective. Computer science can help students learn critical thinking and processes to solve problems in everyday life. This can prep the student to continue post K through 12 education, participate in the American Indian Science and Engineering Society, or become valuable assets for future workforces. Being able to offer financial assistance to outstanding teachers and classrooms in computer sciences would be greatly appreciated for our schools and students. Please support House Bill 644. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Adrian Jowart, and that is spelled J-A-W-O-R-T, and I represent Montana Native Vote. In 2018, Kathy Derenwater, the American Indian Science and Engineering Society, discussed the importance of increasing science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM access for Native American students. She noted, quote, "Due to chronic underrepresentation, Native students do not see themselves in STEM careers because they do not see relevant role models. And this HB 644 is the perfect way to combating that problem as it provides incentives for doing that." Anyway, the reason why there's a gap is because of a lot of lack of internet access. Like the town my family is from, well, actually my white side of my family is from here in Busby, but or in Helena, but my native family is from Busby on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. It's like there's like no cell phone service there even. So you get like have to literally go up to the mountain peaks. It feels like you're sending smoke signals or something. It's like, but that's the way it is in a lot of rural areas. Like, and natives are like the largest demographic that uses Facebook. But despite that, we're the least connected and most underserved. And while there isn't much of an economy to begin with on a lot of reservations, things like computer skills easily translate into making it more robust. And it's obviously the way of the future. I thought this is interesting. In 2018, only 176 Native students took the Computer Science Principles AP exam out of like 70,000 students. And compare that to like 100,000 students took the same exam, and that was like 136% increase from 2016 to 2019. And while we think of computer jobs as an urban occupation, it's actually one of the few jobs that can be done remotely, and at the same time, having those ready-made skills in an area are absolutely essential to modernizing economies, as everyone in this room knows. Because computer science jobs can be done remotely, we believe they can provide Native students, professionals, the opportunity to work and stay in their communities and raise economic levels there. And that's it. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Hessel Halt, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jordan Thompson. That's Thompson. And I present the Confederated Tsiyish and Kootenai Tribes of the Flathead Nation. And we're just here to throw our support behind House Bill 644. It's a really exciting bill for us. I just wanted to reiterate all the points previously made and also mention that it would benefit the whole community on the Flathead Reservation. There's no exclusive tribal or non-tribal school, so if you're educating those teachers, everyone in the whole community is going to get educated in this computer science area. So we support. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Kuntz, K-U-N-T-Z. I'm the executive director for NAMI Montana. We're a grassroots organization that supports, educates, and advocates for Montanans who live with mental illness and their families. And we rise in support of this bill. This is the second session that we've worked with Representative Wendy Boy on programs like this. And a big part of it is because it's essential for mental health for people to be able to be in vocations that fulfill them and take care of their basic needs and their family. And we believe that plugging Montana into the global internet economy is part of how you do that. And it's especially important for our tribal communities that have struggled for so long and been economically disadvantaged. When we brought this bill up the first time, I mentioned a parallel with the intern that we had from this summer, and it was a young blind woman, and being blind is so hard to get a job, and she was the one that said that there was a parallel with this bill, because when she came in for the interview, she literally said, who's going to want to hire a blind girl? And we did, and went to work with her. And after a few weeks, I just said that I just want you doing internet coding style projects. There's something that you understand about this, or that you have a knack for it. And then she went to work for a communications company in Missoula. And I talked to her last Thursday, and she said that she's realized that she has a real skill set in copywriting and search engine optimization, and knows that that's the field that she wants to pursue and can get work now. And this was a 6 months and a small investment. So that's also why we support Representative Wendy Boy's amendment to allow for internships as well. And as a final statement, I just want to say that John Paxton from Montana State University is awesome. I spent two years on the campus, and Montana's incredibly lucky to have him and the Gianforte School of Computing. Thank you.
Any further proponents? We'll go online. If you're online, please raise your hand. Lance Melton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lance Melton, Executive Director with the Montana School Boards Association. My last name is spelled M-E-L-T-O-N. I don't really have anything to add. The proponents have done a great job in outlining the justification for this bill. The Montana School Boards Association stands in strong support and encourages your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Seeing none, informational witnesses. Mr. Taylor.
Hello, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Paul Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. I work for the Office of Public Instruction, and I want to note that it was requested that a fiscal note be prepared for this particular bill, and I'm not certain that it's made it to your hands yet, but the short of it is it's an appropriations bill, and there's a section that appropriates $32,000 each year on behalf of this particular program. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further informational? Seeing none, questions from the committee? I've got one for the sponsor, if no one else does.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Winnie Boy. So this would work in conjunction with your House Bill 219, I believe, the one that you'd change some language on. Are these designed to be in concert, or does this amendment essentially put in place what that bill was going to do?
Well, Mr. Chairman, when they presented 219 in a previous session, and then again earlier on in this session, it does work concert, and only made sense that if we, in order to fully implement 219, it would make sense to get the 644 in place, which is a trainer, train the trainer. And so that way, whenever the, the governor's office had mentioned that the intent of the of that scholarship program of 2000 would be held during the summer, and then if schools that get awarded these particular jobs with the students, then they could probably be subsequent, maybe, and starting off in the fall year. So they do work subsequently. And also, too, Mr. Chairman, if I may add that I know there are numerous mentions about MSU, and it's no offense to the any of the Grizzly fans in here. So
nice. There being no further questions, if you'd like to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just like I said, as I passed out the the amended version on where it says draft over it, all the underlined is basically the language that was in 219. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I hope you support, and thank you.
Thank you. This will close the hearing on House Bill 644. We'll give the room a minute to clear, and then we'll open the hearing on House Bill 663. All right, we'll open the hearing on House Bill 663. Representative Lear.
Hello, members of the Education Committee. My name is Brandon Lear. Last name spelled L-E-R. I represent House District 35, which is in eastern Montana. It encompasses all of Richland County. Today I bring before you House Bill 663. It provides valuable and needed local property tax relief for school funding by providing a link between additional increases in revenue generated from marijuana taxes into property tax relief for local property taxpayers in the non-voted or permissive portions of school district funding. House Bill 663 provides property tax relief in the non-voted portion of the school district funds. It increases the guaranteed tax base aid from 232% under the current law to 250% as it's proposed in this bill. The impacts of House Bill 663 will initially increase the state support and reduce property taxes that are on the non-voted levies under the funding formula by appropriating $10 million a year. This bill will also incorporate a formula to ensure that 25% of the general fund marijuana tax revenue will be used to further, will be used for further and additional tax relief over time. Each 1% of the GDP revenue saves property taxpayers approximately $600,000 each year. This will help to ensure that the state has defensible funding formula and will lessen the burden of funding on our public schools and our local property taxpayers. With that, I reserve the right to close.
Are there proponents? Proponents for House Bill 663. Lance Melton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Lance Melton with the Montana School Boards Association again. I'm also speaking today on behalf of several other public education advocacy groups, including the Montana Association of School Business Officials, Montana Quality Education Coalition, Montana Rural Education Association, and the School Administrators of Montana. We appreciate Representative Lear in bringing this bill forward. We think that this is a great way to commit new revenues that will be coming into the state through the marijuana tax revenue system to provide relief in an area that we believe is very, very much needed for local property taxes. I think it's very creative the way that Representative Lear has implemented this tax relief by going into the GTB formula. This follows up on the good work that this legislature phased in starting in the 2017 session, when the GTB ratio at that time was 193% and brought it up to 232%. Correspondingly, during that same time frame, the state share of general fund budgets for school districts across the state rose by about 3 or 4 points. And as of this year, your state share is over 69% of school district general fund budgets. The reason that's significant is, of course, one of the things that came up in the context of previous litigation was a focus on the state share. And the last word on that subject was in 2009, or rather late 2008, when Judge Sherlock said that the legislature was doing a good job and then advised that there were several areas of concern where the legislature should continue to focus its activities, one of which was on improving the state share. The legislature has done a remarkable job since 2009. This bill proposes further work in that regard, and it also provides sort of an evergreen increase in the GTB ratio later as revenues grow from marijuana taxes as well. So it's sort of a present law adjustment for property tax relief, so to speak. And again, we support it. I'm available for any questions you may have and urge your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Kirk Miller.
Good afternoon, Member Chair Burgley and members of the House Education Committee. For the record, Kirk Miller, and I'm just following up with testimony from school administrators in Montana because this bill, which proposes the responsible use of marijuana tax revenue that will lower non-voted property taxes and will improve the state's constitutional commitment to property taxpayers and public schools, is in direct alignment with school administrators of Montana's position on and statement on taxes. So with that, Mr. Melton has described in detail where our support lies. Mr. Chair, SAM requests your consideration and due pass vote on House Bill 663. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents on House Bill 663? Seeing none, are there opponents? Seeing no opponents, informational witnesses. Mr. Taylor.
Hello again, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Paul Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. I work for the Office of Public Instruction. And once again, I'm not certain if you have a fiscal note in front of you, but could answer questions associated with the fiscal impacts of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further informational? Seeing none, questions from the committee. Representative Novak.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Novak.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lear, I really like this bill. I think it's a great idea, and I commend you for bringing it. My only concern or question for you would be if this money is, I guess, if we were to pass this, is there a way to implement it? Because I feel like every other entity under the sun has stuck their hand in this, and in another committee, we're weeding through a massive bill along these lines. And so do you have any clarity on that, if the money would be available from the marijuana tax?
This bill here, sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Novak, this bill here appropriates 25% of that money if this should pass. It appropriates the 25% of the marijuana money to go to this. And then the other part of the funding would come out of the general fund with the surplus that we have in there. I don't know if surplus is the right word, but with the surplus we have available in there. And the more that grows, the more it pushes the permissive mills down, and then the general fund or the GTB will rise up.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Seekins-Crow.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lear, have you taken a look at other states, if there's any other states who've done this program before?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seekins-Crow, no, I haven't. When I approached certain people about wanting to run a property tax decrease bill or decreasing property tax bill, I went with their knowledge in helping me write what you see in front of you today. So I have not looked at any other states and how they use their marijuana funds or any other type of funds to do this.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Well, maybe it's just the same. Maybe just taking a look. I'm not speaking against it. Because also, any kind of a tax like this, for instance, with lottery funds or marijuana alcohol that they've used to fund any schools, it might be good just to kind of take a look at, see what happens, and when it peaks and then starts to go down a little bit, just once again, not speaking against it, but it is one of the unintended consequences.
Mr. Chair, Representative Novak, I will look into that. Thank you.
Representative Rickson.
Mr. Chair, question for Paul Taylor.
Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, could you explain the fiscal note and how this is going to work? Because my concern is this could be very variant in terms of, you know, we've heard about how the lottery was supposed to help us. And we've, how is this going to work with school districts? Can you explain?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, Representative Rexton, what the bill prescribes is that the multiplier, the GTB multiplier, that is the basis by which all districts are measured against for receiving guaranteed tax-based aid, will be modified from 232% in fiscal year 22 up to 250%. And by increasing that GTB multiplier, it does two things. It provides additional qualifying districts to receive GTB, and also raises the amount of funds that districts could receive under the GTB program, and as a consequence, lowers district property taxes. The cost of raising that multiplier from 232 to 250% is approximately $10 million. And then there's a mechanism going forward in 2024 and into future years that increases the multiplier through a new calculation, which would rise in respect to the amount of marijuana generated revenue to the state general fund. And it would be, the multiplier would slightly increase each year thereafter. As far as the variability of marijuana revenue coming in, I can't necessarily speak to that. My knowledge on that subject is quite limited, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Seeing none, Representative Lee, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you. In closing, House Bill 663 proposes a responsible use of marijuana tax revenue that will lower the non-voted property taxes, which will impact the state's constitutional commitment to property taxes in public schools. Thank you.
So we'll close the hearing on House Bill 663. Next up, we will open the hearing on Senate Bill 243. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Education Committee. My name is Bryce Bennett, and I have the honor of serving the people of Senate District 50, which includes Central and Southern Missoula. And let me just say as well to the chairman, I appreciate you rescheduling my hearing. It's nice to be officially out of quarantine and back in the world of the living. Today I bring you Senate Bill 243 to honor the incredible commitment and contributions of members of our National Guard by giving them a path to advance in the Guard and advance in opportunities education provides. Montana's colleges and universities currently provide in-state tuition to anyone who serves us in the National Guard, but only for undergraduate studies. This bill seeks to expand access to in-state tuition to guardsmen and women who want to seek a graduate degree while also serving our state. By allowing these soldiers and airmen greater access to a graduate degree, we can offer them an important opportunity to improve their lives and pave the way to additional service to our state. U.S. Department of Education reports show that those with graduate degrees make 35.2% more over their lifetimes than people with just a bachelor's degree. It opens doors and raises their standing with employers. Most importantly, though, we know that folks who attend our colleges often stay here, start a family, open a small business, and become entrenched community members in our state. But outside of the expanded educational opportunities National Guard members will have because of this bill, there are practical problems this bill solves as well. The National Guard strongly recommends folks get a graduate degree to be able to continue to rise up the ranks. Military leadership expects a soldier to have a graduate degree before they are promoted from sergeant major to from master sergeant to sergeant major, or from senior master sergeant to chief master sergeant in the Air Guard. The folks serving in the Montana National Guard are always there for us in a moment's notice. When forest fires are blazing or communities are flooding, we call on the National Guard. When folks need to be prison guards in the middle of a global pandemic or go to Washington, D.C. to defend the peaceful transition of power, we call on the National Guard. They put their lives on the line for us, and this bill goes a long way to giving back to them. For a relatively small fiscal note, we can do a lot for these folks. We give these folks ribbons and medals for all they do for us, and we can also give them real, tangible opportunity as well. So, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, at this point, I will turn it over to the folks who know the needs of our military best to share their stories about how this opportunity could improve lives. I thank you for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 243 today. I look forward to a good hearing and would reserve the right to close.
Thank you. With that, we'll open up to proponents in the room. Proponents in the room, just please state and spell your name for the record and any affiliations you might have.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the House Education Committee. I am Major General J. Peter Ronick, H-R-O-N-E-K. I am the Adjutant General for the Montana National Guard and the Director of the Department of Military Affairs. We support Senate Bill 243. When a soldier or airman joins the Montana National Guard, they make a commitment to serve not only their nation, but their state. As we have seen with the COVID-19 support operations in the last year, the fires, floods, and other emergencies of the past year, members of the Montana National Guard make a significant commitment to the state of Montana when they join our National Guard. This bill gives an incentive to young college students from other states to make a commitment to the Montana National Guard and serve the people of Montana when they attend our institutions of higher learning. I recommend a due pass on Senate Bill 243 and thank Senator Bennett for his assistance to our airmen and soldiers. Subject to your questions, this concludes my testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, General. Next proponent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Roger Hagan, last name spelled H-A-G-A-N, and I represent the more than 4,000 members of the Montana National Guard Officer and Enlisted Associations and the several thousand retirees of the National Guard. We rise in support of Senate Bill 243. In my 38-year career, my last 14 years was serving in the personnel world here at Joint Force Headquarters in Helena, retiring as the personnel officer for the Air National Guard, and we recognize the difficulties in recruiting and retention, and we think this is just one other tool in a tool bag that's going to give us an opportunity to keep and retain our soldiers and airmen. So with that, we certainly encourage your support. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Gary White, W-H-I-T-E. I represent the American Legion of Montana, and it's over 12,000 members of the American Legion family. We also rise in support of House Bill, or correction, Senate Bill 243. Mr. Hagan almost used the same verbatim word I was going to use, so with that, I would just ask your due pass. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the House Education Committee. My name is Rachel Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, and I'm here representing the interests of the Associated Students of Montana State University today. I won't rehash what's already been said. We do urge a due pass on this bill. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Katiana Stutzer, K-A-T-J-A-N-A-S-T-U-T-Z-E-R, here on behalf of the Montana Public Interest Research Group, or MOPIRG, and on behalf of the students we represent, we rise in support of Senate Bill 243. For the reasons you've already heard, we urge a due pass today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Allison Reinhardt, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D-T, and I'm here representing the interests of the Montana Associated Students, and I would urge this committee to please vote yes on Senate Bill 243. If you're willing to sign up to serve your country, you should also receive in-state tuition. Thank you very much for your time.
Any further proponents? Go online, Jake Bernal.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is First Lieutenant Jacob Bernal. That's B-E-R-N-A-L. I'm a First Lieutenant in the Army National Guard here in Montana, and I have soldiers under my command in a very similar situation to myself. We find ourselves in a situation where we have bachelor's degrees, and we're looking to continue our education within the state. This bill will enable us to advance our careers both in the state and bring in technical skills that we have learned within the Army National Guard and keep them in Montana. This skilled labor being in Montana is going to help with soldier retention. With all the other testimony, there's not much else to say. We urge that as soldiers in the Montana Army National Guard, this would be a great bill for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Diane Flademo.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Diane Flademo, Director of Public Policy for MFPE. I won't reiterate what the others have already testified to, just to say that we agree and urge your support. Thank you.
Any further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, are there opponents? Seeing none, informational witnesses? See Sean Alliance.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sean Alliance, Director of Accounting and Budget with the Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education, available for any questions you may have today.
Thank you. Any further informational? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Seeing none, Senator Bennett would like to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It's very nice to be back in a committee that I served for 8 years on back when I was in the House. Thank you for reviewing this bill. Thank you to all the proponents who came out to support it. It means the world to me to have folks from the National Guard and the important organizations that support them backing this bill. You know, this is really about, as you heard from some of the folks who are proponents, about making sure that we're giving folks in the National Guard the ability to advance their careers and also advance in the ranks so that they can stay invested in this important work. You know, I wasn't asked by anyone in the Guard to do this because these are folks that, you know, just kind of put their heads down and do the work. But this is an opportunity that will bring people into the state, that will keep people in this state. And one of the things that I was talking about with people when it came to this fiscal note was that I think that from talking with people through this process, this is going to be something that will bring folks into our university system as well. You know, I think that there's a lot of folks in the Guard who know that they can get their undergrad for the in-state tuition now, but they thought, well, I guess I have to look back in my home state or I have to go someplace else when it comes to the grad school. And we have world-class opportunities here in Montana, and I think this is going to get some of the people who are defending us, who are doing important work with the National Guard, to start thinking about Montana to be a place where they can come and be part of this work. So, again, thank you for a great hearing, and I would urge that you concur in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bennett. Did you have anyone in mind to carry this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I don't. I leave that at your discretion.
Thanks. With that, we will close the hearing on Senate Bill 243. Next up, we'll open the hearing on House Joint Resolution 25. Representative Novak.
Thank you all. I bring to you today, well, I'll introduce myself just in case you don't know. Representative Sarah Novak, House District 77, out of Anaconda and all of Granite County. Today I have for you House Joint Resolution 25, and this is a study bill. Requesting the interim study for student loan debt. This is a hot topic with all kinds of different opinions on there. The reality is that the average student loan debt for a four-year degree is $30,000. And as we all know, it goes up from there, and some programs require a higher level. I won't rehash the entire bill. I'll let you look through it. I just want to really focus on the important aspects as far as I'm concerned or where my interests lie as related to the cost of higher education. And that's with issues specific to the economic impact of student loan debt, as well as recruiting and retaining issues that surround that. I think I've seen and I've heard a lot of folks say, you know, if you can't afford it, don't go. But then you have the other side that says education is the great equalizer, and it opens doors and opportunities for folks. So really finding the balance there on how we can make that work. An area of concern for me are positions that we declare high need or high demand in the state. And one perfect example that we've talked a lot about this session is the mental health providers and the need to access mental health, the need to have the availability of more providers. And the reality is that all of those positions require a master's degree. So it's a very high level to attain them. And in order to be an LCPC or an LCSW, you have to have a master's degree and pass a board certified test, which usually includes supervised hours that equal to full-time work an hour beyond your master's degree. And then those positions are paying upper 20s, lower 30s starting out. And so we have to look at what is the trade-off? Are we going to even be able to recruit folks to those fields when they incur a massive amount of debt and potentially don't have any relief for that? In my own personal work, I hire high needs positions that are master's level, including speech and language pathologists, school psychologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists. Those are just a few. Some of those degrees are not even necessarily available in our state, and that just becomes more expensive. So those are just a few that I can speak to personally. We do have some proponents here that will share their perspectives, but I do think it's a topic worth taking a look at, and that's why I agreed to bring this joint resolution. So with that, I'll stand for questions and reserve the right to close.
Thank you. With that, we'll open it to proponents. Proponents for HJ 25.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, again, Katjana Stutzer, KatjanaStutzer, here on behalf of the Montana Public Interest Research Group, or MOPRG. And we're here to support House Joint Resolution 25. We know that students in Montana have debt, as the sponsor has told us. From our 2015 estimates, around 43% of MSU freshmen and 45% of UM freshmen have to take out loans just to finance that very first year of education. And 60% of all of our Montana University graduates end up having student debt at some point, totaling around $30,000 for a bachelor's degree. And I just want to illustrate, because I think sometimes there's some mystery around, well, you know, colleges always cost money. You know, why is this such a hot button issue now? And so I want to briefly highlight that tuition has continued to increase while our wages have stayed relatively the same, resulting in the student debt crisis that we're hearing about. Tuition has risen nationally 213% in inflation-adjusted dollars since 1987, so a whole awful lot since the last generation were getting their college degrees. And the cost of attendance at a state school was around $10,000 adjusted for inflation in 1987. And now that average cost nationwide is $22,000. That growth is 8 times faster than wages has grown since 1980. So we have some of this data nationally that we know that tuition is increasing really rapidly while wages are not. And just one more example to illustrate that. In 1989, a student could work at $7 an hour, which is that adjusted for inflation minimum wage at the time, for full time in the summer and 23 hours during the school week, and be able to pay for that entire cost of attendance, $10,000 a year, which is what we expect when we like talk about college from the last generation. You work full-time this summer, part-time during school, and you make it work. Now, a student, if they were making $9 an hour, which is sometimes more than we know that our young people can expect to earn per hour in Montana, they would have to work a full-time job in addition to a part-time job to be able to pay that same cost of tuition. So even though tuition has more than doubled, we know that our minimum wage has not more than doubled. So just this situation has resulted in $1.6 trillion, trillion with a T, of student debt in the United States. And we know that this isn't unique to other places, that this is affecting our students right here in Montana, where 7.2% of MSU and 10.7% of UM grads default on their student loans every year. So I think that the main point here is knowing that you're going to take on a massive amount of student debt in order to attain a college degree disincentivizes students to get any degree. So that first degree, going back for a master's, going back for a PhD, and also forces students to pursue the cheapest option instead by doing an all online program out of state, going to potentially an out of state program that's offered them a better student aid package. And we know that 80% of Montana grads will stay in the state and live here and work for at least 5 years after graduation. And that overall bachelor's degree earners contribute $278,000 more over their lifetimes to our local economies than a high school graduate. And for an AA, that's $81,000 over their lifetime. And in addition, our highly educated folks decrease the need for our social aid programs, decrease crime, and improve health outcomes overall in our communities. I'll wrap it up here. What I'm saying is that it's an investment in our local economy to incentivize students to stay here at our universities because they know that they're going to be able to pay off reasonably their student debt, and it benefits us. Overall, having these cost burden students with big loan payments and it hinders their ability to start or grow a business, buy a home, invest, save for emergencies, all the things that make them better contributors to our communities, and is good for our economies overall. So understanding and addressing student debt in Montana is key to attracting top talent and incentivizing young people to stay in our state. And those economic benefits of higher ed for us all are clear. So we believe we should find ways to really understand that process and address that for the financial benefits that it will bring to our state long term, which is why we support HJ 25. Thank you.
Good afternoon again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rachel Schmidt, SCHMIDT, here representing the interests of the Associated Students of Montana State University once again. We do know that student debt is an issue facing most students in the state of Montana. The sponsor outlined that, and so did Ms. Stutzer. So I'll just explain my experience a little bit. I want to note that I graduated 1 year early. At any given point in college, I was working 2 to 3 jobs. I was constantly applying for scholarships. I had in-state tuition, and I still graduated with college student debt. Not much compared to most students, but if that's a situation where students are graduating early, they're working multiple jobs, they're applying for scholarships, and they receive in-state tuition and still graduate with student debt, I think this is an issue that is worth exploring. This bill is an exploratory bill, and I think students would really appreciate the legislature looking into this to find out more information about how student debt is impacting students in the state of Montana. I urge it to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Hello again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Allison Reinhardt, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D-T, and I'm here representing the interests of the Montana Associated Students. I represent over 40,000 students in the Montana University system, and a majority of these students have incurred student debt in one way or another. So I think this topic is a really important one to delve into and figure out maybe what are the causes and how can we help students in the state so that they can stay here and contribute to Montana's economy. Like I said before, I represent students from every campus, and this is not just one issue for MSU students or students from UM. Students have incurred debt from any campus everywhere across Montana, so I would ask this committee to please vote yes on House Joint Resolution 25 so we can continue to have this conversation. Thank you very much for your time and for serving on House Education.
Thank you. Any further proponents? I'll go online. Ruthie Barber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ruthie Barber, spelled B-A-R-B-O-U-R, and I'm here on behalf of Forward Montana. We are in support of HJ 25 for similar reasons as an organization that has many young members that are current or recently graduated students. We've heard countless stories about the crushing impact of student loan debt and the current lack of solutions to this looming issue. And when discussing student debt, national data is much easier to find than current data here in Montana, which is, I think, one of the reasons why this interim study is just so necessary. We know that higher education is an important avenue to finding a higher paying job and establishing oneself in a community. And we also know that tuition in Montana has continued to rise while wages have remained somewhat stagnant. Even while working a part-time or full-time job through school, many Montana students are forced to take out significant student loans to cover the cost of classes, fees, books, living expenses, et cetera. After graduating, many students struggle with debt as they are attempting to begin their careers professionally. And as Ms. Stutzer already stated, an average of 7.2 MSU graduates and 10.7 UM graduates default on their loans every year. When young people carry the weight of massive student debt, it delays their ability to buy a house, invest for their future, or start a new business, which in turn hurts our state economy. So I just think this bill is a step in the right direction to understanding the causes and the impact of student loan debt on Montanans and building a comprehensive solution to reduce its burdens and bolster our economy. So please vote yes on HJ 25. Thanks so much, Mr. Chair.
Karen Smith.
All right. Hello, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Karen Smith. I am the Chief Advocacy Officer for Montana's Credit Unions, which is the trade association representing Montana's 46 state and federally chartered credit unions. You do have my written testimony, so I'll keep this short, but we do stand in support of Joint Resolution 25. This is a topic that is of great interest to Montana's credit unions, and in fact, we'd like to be included in the study. Montana's credit unions have been helping Montana students get one step closer to achieving their dreams of higher education and financial stability. For the past 16 years, we've offered matched education savings accounts to help Montana students save for college. The ultimate goal of this program has been to help students establish a pattern of savings, gain valuable financial knowledge, and actually reduce the amount of student loans taken out by an individual, reducing their student debt. Throughout the course of our programs, we've helped over 500 students save over $250,000, and these students earned nearly $1 million in match, which is ultimately a reduction in their student debt. I think the work that we've done with financial capability and the match savings program would be a benefit to the interim study, and ask for your consideration and a pass on House Joint Resolution 25. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Seeing none. Opponents? Seeing none. Informational witnesses? Ms. Lyons.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Shauna Lyons again with the Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education, available for any questions and support for any data that you may need with this project.
Thank you. Any further informational? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Representative Rexton.
Mr. Chair, a question for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rexton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Novak, is there a fiscal note with this in terms of how much money we're talking about for this particular study?
There is not. I double checked to see if anything had been requested or generated, and there's not. And to be quite honest, I'm a little green here. I'm not sure how the interim studies work, if they traditionally have a fiscal note or not. But
I'll just, so for clarification purposes, on since we are going to start seeing a bunch of these right here at the end of the session, is when you have a resolution that goes through and is passed, the study bills will all be lined up, and then at the end of the session, we'll have the ability to rank them according to what we believe are the ones that pass. And then when those bills are passed, they would go to the assigned committees, the interim committees that would then take a look at them. Those interim committees have a budget through legislative services that they are tasked with to provide for legislator, meals and travel expenses and salary for those days. So that would all come out of the legislative budget. So there isn't any additional cost for any of the study bills above and beyond the interim.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Representative Novak, from my experience in teaching 3 years of college, there are a number of students that don't know why they're there. Will that be an area that you look at, in terms of, college students are notorious for not knowing what they want to do. Is that an area of focus that you might want to consider?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rexton, thank you for that. So I guess I would say I agree with you completely. And I think that there's a couple different areas where that can be addressed. And some of the points that might want to be taken into consideration, I guess, for me in answering your question is I think it's very valid. But I would just leave that up to the interim committee. I mean, I just think the subject as a whole is what we're asking in this bill to bring forward to the interim committee.
Just a further clarification on that. In terms of interim committees, the way that they work is when they get a study bill, that bill then becomes, much like it does here, the property of the committee. They have the ability to use it as they see fit. This is basically a recommendation of this is what we think you should look at. But those committees have under their purview to look at additional things or some of the things or none of the things. And you can also decide if you buy a majority vote in any of those interim committees to study anything you would like. So you wouldn't even necessarily need a bill or a resolution in order to do that. So just for clarification purposes. Any further questions? Seeing none, Representative Novak, please close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just in closing, I would say thank you for enlightening on that. I know that was of interest to me, and I think it helped others in the committee, so I appreciate that very much. As you can see, there are a lot of questions surrounding this. I think there's a lot of folks that have really great ideas and bring expertise to the table that are willing to be available for questioning or as resources if the committee so chooses to move on with this. I think it is an area of great interest, not just to myself, but really to folks across on how we make college affordable and really how do we retain our Montana students? How do we retain our kids that we're raising and bring them back home for a career to reside after they've finished college, even if they leave the state for college? So there's a lot of different dynamics to this, and I think it's very much worth studying and seeing what we can bring to the table. So I would really thank you for listening, and I urge a due pass on this. Thank you.
Thank you. This will close the hearing on House Joint Resolution 25. Members, Representative Winnie Boy had asked that he could provide a correction or clarification to his bill, so he's going to take a minute here to address the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's not on my bill, but it was a bill previously passed by this committee, House Bill 403, when you guys had deliberation on questions and answers on that particular piece of legislation, which is the Grow Your Own bill. I did make a statement that there was money that was appropriated on that, but I came to find out that there was a miscommunications in the Appropriations Joint Subcommittee on that, and we are that bill is in our possession in the full Appropriations Committee. We're addressing it, and we're going to be taking action on that tomorrow. So I just wanted to come in and provide that clarification on that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Winnie Boy. And so, members, we do have about almost 10 bills, I guess, to take action on. And since Wednesday, we will not be meeting Friday since because of Easter, we'll be taking off. So we've got one bill scheduled currently for Wednesday. If we have any other bills that are dropped that are under the transmittal deadline, we'll probably take action, add those to the hearing Wednesday. But you should plan on taking action on any of the bills that have to meet that transmittal deadline on Wednesday. So I would say be ready to do executive action on all of the bills that we've heard up to date. So with that, House Education will be adjourned.